there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Hello and welcome to New Hope for Today. The Advent season we celebrate goes back many centuries. It starts four Sundays before Christmas and is a time when Christians around the world prepare their hearts, remembering the prophecies of Scripture that prepared the world for the coming of the King, God incarnate. We celebrate the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago, but also the coming of Christ in our hearts, and we look forward to our King coming yet again.
All you need is faith. Have a diesel's hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.
Today we're going to read from a couple pieces of Scripture. We're going to read from the Epistle of 1 John in chapter 4, and we're going to read from the Gospel of John in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Hear now the Word of God. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we'll read the familiar verse in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you, in our hearts, that you teach us, that you explain your Word to perfection in that perfect Word, that does penetrate us deep down inside, Lord. A seed that is planted that can change our lives. And so we long for your Word, we long for your voice to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there's so many things in our society that social systems kind of adapt to religious systems, and then they end up kind of distorting it and copying it to a degree and perverting it. And so today, I don't know. I mean, when I was young, I suppose that this was still part and parcel of what was done at Christmas time, but it seems to me even worse today that we have this religion of materialism. It's kind of embedded in this idea that money and things will solve the problems that we have. Right? And I don't know. You know, we were watching Charlie Brown the other night, and I've mentioned this in my sermons before, but you know, Charlie Brown Christmas, when Linus comes in, they're trying to get the Christmas tree, and they yell at him about the Christmas tree, and they're putting this play together, and it has nothing to do about the Christmas season. And Linus at the end says, well, I know what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown, right? So that was done in the 60s, so there must have been a part and parcel of materialism back then, but it just seems so much worse today. For the first time, stores were open on Thanksgiving now. You know, it's not good enough to go at midnight on that Friday. They had to open at 8 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, and some stores were open even before that. And so society does this. Society kind of captures what we hold dear, and then they distort it in this religion of materialism. I don't know if you remember back a few years ago, there was a show called The Secret Millionaire. You remember that? Anybody ever watch it? Well, to let you know what it was about, The Secret Millionaire. And it was, you know, at first glance, it seemed kind of an appealing and noble thing, because what it did was you had this upper class rich person who lowered themselves to the level of poor working class people and went along beside them and did what they did and kind of befriended them in a way. And after spending time with them and their struggles and their trials, the secret millionaire then gave them a gift of what? Money. And then they kind of went on their way back to their big house and big business and relationship gone. I'm sure there were some who maybe kept a relationship up with some of the poor people, but my guess is most did not. And actually, they actually canceled the show after a while because it wasn't answering questions. See, the assumption is that the poor just need a few more material things to make them whole again. That's the whole context and deliverance of this materialism that we have in society. Now see, this is in contrast with one of the great truths of God. He condescended to become a human being, to become man. He lived among us. He gave us a great gift. And while he ascended back to his heavenly estate, his heavenly realm, he still lives with us today, and he desires this relationship, a restored relationship. See, true love is something that is given. True love is something that's given. God the Father loves you so much that he made a way for you to live with him forever. And this great love that the Father has given is in Jesus Christ, in his Son. He's the one who restores our relationship to God. True love comes from God. We can know it in any other way. Human beings left to their own devices do not demonstrate true love. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And God's love for us is manifested not in money, not in things, not in the kind of house we have, not in our wealth, not even in our health. God's love for us is manifest in his relationship with us. A relationship that he condescended to, that he lowered himself to, this God of the universe who became man. It's a relationship that he truly desires with you. See, his word is the gospel. And it's Jesus Christ who restores our relationship with God. From the very beginning of time, we see this in the book of Genesis. The love of the Father began even in the Garden of Eden. You know, many say that they wish that they could be back in the Garden of Eden, because you got to walk with God and talk with him and everything. But I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. See, we have God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who created Adam and Eve in his own image. He gave them free will. He gave them the ability to choose between right and wrong. They could choose to obey him. They could choose not to obey him. They had seemingly a great relationship with God in the garden, but as good as it was, I think God had better plans in store. When they chose wrongly It was God who sacrificed the animal to cover their sin. Remember what Adam and Eve did to cover their sin. What'd they do, remember? They sewed fig leaves together, right, to cover their shame. But it was God who provided the sacrifice of the animal skins to cover their shame. And while the garden fellowship with God was lost, I believe in love, he showed them a better way, a better life to come. Follow me on this through the Old Testament. When God made his covenant at the middle of the book of Genesis with Abraham, he demonstrated a better relationship to come. See, Abraham believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We read that in Genesis chapter 15. We also read that in the book of Romans from Paul. He believed that God would give him a son, who was Isaac, born of Sarah. And he also believed, in the midst of him being called to go to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son, that somehow God would restore his son. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed who? He believed God. His strong relationship with God, this strong relationship that Abraham had, allowed him to see Christ. Now, how do we know that? We see in John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." So in other words, Abraham saw something forward, something better to come. He didn't know Messiah as we know Messiah. He knew the Messiah to come. We know the Messiah who did come. We move from Abraham to Moses. What was revealed to Moses? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, it says that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. In other words, there was something future, something better to come. They already knew it, they already experienced it, but it was not yet what it would be. And so he returned to Egypt, he petitioned Pharaoh for the Hebrews' freedom, and through his relationship with God, he gained their freedom. In Exodus chapter 15, we read, "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling." Moses saw the love of God, and he saw a better life to come. And it wasn't the Garden of Eden. It's not that. God has something better in store. We move 500 years or so ahead, and at about 1000 BC, we have David. In David, God displayed his anointed one. It was a type of Christ, a type of Messiah to come. David was a man after God's own heart, and he realized the love of the Father. In fact, in most of his thoughtful moments written out in the Psalms, David constantly speaks of the love of God. There's an example in Psalm 6, verse 4. He says, "Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love." David knew of the love of the Father and of a better life to come. And so, you see, all the Old Testament points to this love of the Father. And the love of the Father for you is manifested or expressed or is realized in a relationship. In other words, it's not a thing out there. It's a relationship. It's not money. It's not good health. It's not, as many in the faith movement will profess. It's none of that. It's a relationship with the living God. And he expresses this in sending his son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." See, now we're getting at it. Now 2,000 years ago, Messiah has come. These Old Testament prophecies are beginning to be fulfilled. We really do begin to see this true love that God has. In 1 John chapter 4, 9 and 10, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Live how? Live in a relationship with God forever. "This is love," in verse 10, "not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Messiah to come, this Jesus, led a perfect, sinless life, totally obedient to the Father. And that is why his death on the cross is the perfect atonement for our sins, for those who believe. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He saw the Messiah to come. Moses believed. David believed. We believe. When they talk about love in the Bible, when they talk about the love of God, it is almost 99% of the time always this Greek verb that is used. It's called agape, and you've heard that before, and I've preached on it before, but agape is an active verb. No, it's not, in other words, you know, it's not a noun. It's not something that God has and says, "Here." It's something that God has and says, "Come." Right? It's an active verb. And the way that the verb is always used when talking about the love of God, it indicates this ongoing, continuous activity. A continual love. This warm regard for the interest of another person. To cherish them, to have affection for them. It's an altruistic love. It's an all-encompassing and unconditional love. That's the love of God. And that's the love that God calls you to. He draws you to himself. He longs for you. He desires you in a relationship with him. The Word of God in the Bible, in Scripture, is not a set of prescribed rules and regulations that we're supposed to follow. That's not what Scripture is about. The Scripture is about the Word of God as a living relationship with the Creator of the universe. You know, not a living relationship with Donald Trump or who's the Berkshire Hathaway guy? I think Warren Buffett, or you know, it's not a relationship with them. This is a relationship with the Creator God, the Maker of all things. Believe, and it's credited to you as righteousness, because the righteousness of Christ comes upon you. God does not simply condescend himself or, you know, lower himself to where we are to initiate, perhaps, and tolerate a relationship like the millionaire would do for a time. He gives himself so that he can restore an eternally loving relationship with you. So much different than the world would answer problems with mankind. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still disobedient to what the Word of God had to say, while we were still not doing those things we knew we should do and doing those things we knew we shouldn't do, God loves us. In conclusion, just consider the difference between the world's view of giving and God's. See, the millionaire may condescend or lower themselves to the level of everyday people, but a little baby born 2,000 years ago was the ultimate condescension, was the ultimate humiliation, the creator of the universe coming in human form. The millionaire may fake and tolerate some sort of a relationship with the poor for a time, but the Creator truly loves you and seeks out a lasting relationship. The millionaire may give you a gift of money, but God gives you the gift of eternal life with Him forever. The great love of God for you is shown by His grace-filled plan of salvation. He sent His Son so that you who believe will have life everlasting in an eternal relationship with the Almighty God. Is that awesome? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And amen. Let's go to God in prayer.
Holy Father, we assemble here because we are the assembly of Your people at New Hope Church. We have been on the assembly line, Lord, where You have picked us up and put us into this new creation, this new body, this body of Christ, the church, Your church, where You handpick those who You want here to give You the glory, to give You the honor, and Your great authority of just setting things into place. That who is here because of You. And we do give thanks for that, Lord. It is indeed a miracle. Help us to live up to what the body is supposed to do, this animation of Jesus Christ from the collection of Your people, to spread the gospel, to make disciples. Lord, we know that we certainly are not worthy. That by Your grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are saved. And salvation comes by no other name than Christ Jesus our Lord. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father but through Him. That Lord, You did give Your Son, Jesus Christ, so that all of those who believe may have eternal life. And we are part of that. Help us to understand that. Help us to see the glory in that. Help us to see You at work around us, that we may come and serve You, Lord. Make it clear to us what that is and what we should be doing. And You do. You do every day by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Holy Spirit, You direct us and guide us to these moments where You want us to be. You intersect our paths with people who do not know Jesus Christ. Give us the boldness to tell others, to be a light in a dark world. You do not give us a spirit of timidity, but of boldness and courage and love to be able to go into the mission field, out of the church building, out of the confines of these four walls, to deliver Your message to a dark and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been enjoying our radio ministry. Check out our website for more information. Until next week, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.
Diesel's hum. Don't need